am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, October 17th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am encouraged from time to time to mention that I am your host, Chris Hinckley. So there you go. How about we start with a reading from the book of Jacoby, Russell Jacoby, that is. How about Social Amnesia, a critique of conformist psychology from Adler to Lange, published in 1975. You may recall Russell Jacoby as the voice crying out in the wilderness, I guess in a number of ways or in a number of instances. He's one of the apostates in a sense, a heretic in his community. He wrote the article When Freud Came to America, and the on-page title is When Freud Came to America, and the meta title, the metadata title, is Freud's Visit to Clark U. It's a fascinating article, and it is an article that I think everyone should read. Features the photo, 1909 photo, of Sigmund Freud, G. Stanley Hall, who you may recall John Taylor Gatto said was basically the father of the modern school system. It's not Dewey or some of the folks that we think of. It's G. Stanley Hall. So Sigmund Freud, G. Stanley Hall, Carl Jung, Abraham A. Brill, who was a legendary figure himself from Behind the Shadows, if you listen to what folks like Edward Bernays said, Ernest Jones and Sandor Frenzy. And that's a fascinating article. Probably come back to that. Absolutely incredible. That was the from Russell Jacoby's article. That was the article he mentioned 100 years ago. This article was published in 2009. And he wrote, 100 years ago, Sigmund Freud arrived in the United States on his first and only visit. As the George Washington pulled into New York Harbor, he supposedly remarked to Carl Jung, who accompanied him, quote, "They don't realize that we are bringing them the plague." His more vociferous contemporary critics would probably agree. I would say, absolutely. And so he goes on to describe how Freud came to deliver 5 lectures over 5 days during his only visit in September 1909 at Clark University, an obscure, seemingly obscure anyway, university. And if you look into the history of Clark University, it's fascinating. Even the public version or the Wikipedia version of the struggle at Clark University, the founder of Clark University, Jonas Clark, basically fighting with G. Stanley Hall over how to establish the university. It's an interesting story, but Jacoby mentions in the article that for our rank obsessed, you know, its president, the Clark University's president, G. Stanley Hall, had invited a number of leading thinkers to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Clark University. But why Clark University? For our rank obsessed society, it might seem surprising. Not Chicago or Princeton or Columbia, but a small Massachusetts university with just 16 faculty members had invited one of the pivotal thinkers of the 20th century. Indeed, William James came over from Harvard to listen to the lectures. And so it's an interesting story. And this is one of those points of history that I think is fascinating. Anyone of any age could dive in to this discussion, even just the points that I've mentioned, but the article and the characters in it, from Freud to Hall, Jung, Brill, William James, from there you can splinter out into all kinds of fascinating discoveries, historical discoveries that are relevant today, every bit as relevant today as they were now 113 years after this legendary visit by Freud and Jung. So it's there that we begin today's broadcast. So a reading from Jacoby, the book of Jacoby. In this case, Social Amnesia, a critique of conformist psychology from Adler to Lang. And Jacoby wrote, "Today's banalities apparently gain in profundity if one states that the wisdom of the past, for all its virtues, belongs to the past. The arrogance of those who come later preens itself with the notion that the past is dead and gone. The modern mind can no longer think a thought, can no longer think thought, only can locate it in time and space. The activity of thinking decays to the passivity of clarifying." This sort of reminds me of what Jaron Lanier mentioned in his book, You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. It's almost like they were sharing notes with one another. In the name of a new theory, past theory is declared honorable but feeble. One can lay aside Freud and Marx or appreciate their limitations and pick up the latest at the drive-through window of thought. So maybe the drive-through window of thought is at the local McDonald's church. You know, you can stop at the church drive-through and or obviously you can, this was 1975, so now you can just have it sent to your inbox or electronically sent, as it were. Maybe it shows up on your Apple Watch. Society has lost its memory and with it, its mind. The inability or refusal to think back takes its toll in the inability to think. The general loss of memory is not to be explained solely psychologically. It is not simply childhood amnesia. Rather, it is social amnesia, memory driven out of mind by the social and economic dynamic of this society. Exactly, because the past is forgotten, its rules unchallenged. To be transcended, it must be first remembered. Perhaps last, the original Marxist notion of ideology was conveniently forgotten because it inconveniently did not exempt common sense and empiricism from the charge of ideology. It's fascinating. There's more, but I happened upon, or YouTube happened me upon, a series of videos, really, whole collection of videos at the, let's see if I can find it. Philosophy Overdose channel. And the, I don't know, I want to play this one. I really do. I want to play a few of them because this really sort of articulates in an interesting way the problem that we have in American society that we don't fathom it. There's no problem. Wittgenstein on religion. Wittgenstein on religion. And it's ironic. I really want to play it. It's 20 minutes long. The irony is the close. And the way that the narrator closes the video is haunting. Okay. Well, we won't do that for now. So maybe I'll describe it for you. I don't know if I can. It is, maybe I'll try. We can't play it right now, so I'll try to describe it. The video, Wittgenstein on Religion, is, you can find it on the Philosophy Overdose YouTube channel published earlier this year, January 14, 2022. And part of the playlist, Shorter Clips and Videos, Philosophy Overdose. It's fascinating. You know, really, truly, it's fascinating from an overt perspective. Not looking at the, not trying to pull the curtain back on the wizard. You know, you have some very, very sick and disturbed folks in the intellectual foray, some folks who are revered, folks like Michel Foucault, for example, not someone that, you know, you think of the Bible telling us that bad company corrupts good morals, that kind of thing. And yet we have young people reading folks like Foucault and other disturbed individuals who, in their personal practices, you know, most normal, well-adjusted folks would consider highly objectionable. And so that's where you wind up with the experience that Andrew Breitbart described at Tulane University. Is there anything I can read other than haikus about rape? Rape Lit was his American Studies experience at Tulane. So this video, Wittgenstein on Religion, is narrated by it was an episode of the series called Sea of Faith with Don Cupid, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And you watch the video, Wittgenstein on Religion, which is ironic. You know, Wittgenstein was a particularly godless fellow, I would say. Ungodly is how I would describe him. He worshipped at the altar of self and was like so many others, you know, Nietzsche, Kant, so many of these folks that are revered in Western society or Western intellectual circles. And that funnels out from there, which is, again, why the article that Russell Jacoby wrote is so fascinating. When Freud came to America, this visit that Freud made to America with Carl Jung, where he said they don't realize that we are bringing them the plague, this visit is still rippling through America as much today as it was then. You can go to, speaking of William James coming over, you can go to William James Wikipedia entry, today, you know, who knows for how long, but it's fascinating, on the list of deists on Wikipedia, William James's name, I believe, last time I looked, it was on there. If not on there, connected. But William James Wikipedia entry includes several mentions of Emanuel Swedenborg and that's fascinating. William James' family was, his father, Henry James, was actually a Swedenborgian minister. So, no wonder. And so you read right at the top of the section titled Early Life. William James was born at Astor House. At the Astor House, very privileged birth and upbringing in New York City. Born into a family of folks that, you know, obviously fancy themselves our betters, the rest of society. He was the son of Henry James Sr., a noted and independently wealthy Swedenborgian theologian, well acquainted with the literary and intellectual elites of his day. That's an understatement. The intellectual brilliance of the James family milieu and the remarkable epistolary talents of several of its members have made them a subject of continuing interest to historians, biographers, and critics. I really don't see it. Personally, I don't understand it. But skipping down, career, James interacted with a wide array of writers and scholars throughout his life. His godfather, Ralph Waldo Emerson, his godson, William James Sidis, as well as Charles Sanders Peirce, Bertrand Russell, Josiah Royce, Ernst Mach, John Dewey, Macedonio Fernandez, Walter Lippmann, Mark Twain, Horatio Alger, G. Stanley Hall, Henry Bergson, Carl Jung, Jane Addams, Sigmund Freud. During his Harvard years, James joined in philosophical discussions and debates with, and among James's students at Harvard were, it's a formidable list of folks, but when you dive into what his views were, no wonder American society has been infected with these warped views. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interest as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. I would like to play for you what happens. What's the result of this? You know, why is this so important? Somebody might ask, "What? Who cares? You know, who cares about all these folks that we've never heard of, or I don't know, philosophers or intellectuals slash mathematicians slash so-called scientists and pseudoscientists? What does this have to do with anything as far as today is concerned?" Well, I would submit to you that this is these are the roots of the insanity that we see happening these days. There's a video of Lauren Boebert, who I think is the what do you call it? She's like the the obverse of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They're kind of two sides of the same person, almost, and neither of those alter egos is good. They're both very vapid, and there's a very disrespectful will to power sort of bent. It's, you know, this sort of typifies the solipsistic view in America today, which has gone beyond. I thought that it was narcissistic. It's beyond that. It is solipsistic in the sense that, you know, narcissism is one thing. Narcissism basically says, I'm the most important person that I know. I walk by the pond, you know, and I see myself and, oh my goodness, I'm captivated. But one might argue in this context that narcissism at least leaves room for other people. I'm just the most important person in the group of other people. Solipsism, on the other hand, I would say, is a more virulent strain. It basically says that there is no one else but me. Everyone else that appears to exist is really only just a non-player character. So I interact, I interface with other non-playable characters, but they're there just to serve me and give me clues and hints and things in my little choose my own adventure first person player video game. And so these kinds of people, I think, are emblematic examples. And this is where it comes from. These folks who sit around like Ludwig Wittgenstein. And by the way, where did he go for 16 years? I think some folks know, they just don't want to say. And other folks are encouraged to forget in the fashion that Russell Jacoby would try to remind us, I think. Anyway, back to William James. This formidable list of folks that he interacted with. On his Wikipedia page, also you read, James finally earned his MD degree in June 1869. But he never practiced medicine. This was, of course, before the Flexner Report, right? What he called his soul sickness, quote-unquote, would only be resolved in 1872 after an extended period of philosophical searching. Oh, he's got to go find himself. He married Alice Gibbons in 1878. In 1882, he joined the Theosophical Society. Ah, that's a huge clue. This is really kind of this becomes the headwaters of intellectual current for the next, well, until now, until this day. These forces are influencing American society very, very directly and more pervasively than ever today. The more you dig in, the more you discover that the Swedenborgian current, though it is unrecognized by most, it's everywhere. This is why, for example, I mean, it's the syncretistic merging of and the pluralistic impulse of combining the New Age stuff and Christian stuff. So why people profess the Bible and run around saying the universe is God. This is where it comes from. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already of today's broadcast. This is the kind of the headwaters of the plague that Freud spoke of. And so no wonder William James went over to Clark University to hear the lectures delivered. Again, from William James' Wikipedia entry, even. Born into a wealthy family, James was the son of the Swedenborgian theologian Henry James Sr. and the brother of both the prominent novelist Henry James and the diarist Alice James. This is a much, 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 much bigger subject. I've begun to try to write about this. It's surprisingly more complicated than it seems, but, you know, it's you start to get a different picture and perspective than most people realize. And yet, that's right out of plain sight. These guys were exploring things, you know, through the Theosophical Society in particular. I mean, I mention on a regular basis Alice Bailey's writings in this context, in conjunction with all of this, and the fact that her Wikipedia entry even says that the volume, the vast majority of works credited to her were in fact received works. That's called automatic writing. It's become popular now. It's been popularized in America. There are bridge figures. You know, Gary Kaa mentions in his book, The New World Religion, very instrumental, influential figures like Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who, as I've mentioned, Zbigniew Brzezinski quoted in Between Two Ages, for example. And Edgar Cayce is another bridge figure in all of this. The syncretistic impulse and the merging, the pluralistic merging of the new agey kind of stuff. Really, it's mystical stuff, but it really, the more you dive down any one of the little offshoots down the rabbit hole, you wind up somewhere back in ancient somewhere. Greece, Babylon, Mesopotamia. You quickly end up way back in the Wayback Machine. And so these folks, you know, folks like William James were part of the experimenting with this stuff. Is this automatic writing thing, is this a real thing? These seances and the psychics and things, how real is this? You know, they created the Society for Psychical Research and offshoots, the American Society for Psychical Research and things like that, to try to see if these things are real things. It turns out they are, and they start to harness these things. And then once you start seeing things like that, you consider this automatic writing thing is a real thing, then you understand if that's happening, then basically what you have is a demon-possessed person who is sort of the host for the demon while, you know, their body is used to frantically scribble while they're in a catatonic state, eyes rolled back in their head, not obviously even conscious, not consciously aware of what's being written. And when you think about that, you start to, you know, when you really start to think about that, you start to view some of these things that have happened historically maybe a little differently. The views that we've heard expressed, maybe this is why God tells us we're not supposed to have any graven image, or why we should be careful about certain things. You know, it's, I think, why we've seen things historically being published posthumously. You know, Bacon, for example. Where do these things come from? And it's interesting, you know, there was one that I saw last week, I forget who it was, but now after I think 100 years or something, somebody, now we've suddenly discovered some new writings of somebody. Oh, but it matches his, you know, tone and cadence, you know, his literary style. Well, maybe, you know, again, speaking of Emanuel Swedenborg, a man who was alleged to have written, you know, 30 plus thousand pages that we have. I mean, you think about it, 10 pages a day for 10 years, every day, who could do that? Who has time for that? Not to mention, you know, who's editing all of this and compiling all of this. But, you know, if you have, if you're channeling, you know, spirits and you are engaging in automatic writing, well, then it becomes much more feasible. And if that's the case, then no wonder maybe there's a literary style that persists from age to age, if you know what I mean. Maybe this explains the romanticized version that Manly P. Hall gives of folks, you know, Comte de Saint Germain and Bacon and all these folks that seem to, they just live forever, except they don't. Maybe it's more a case of this. So it's a fascinating thing, and you start to go back into history and in all kinds of directions. But it's this current that I've mentioned recently that's patently ungodly. It's everywhere in America today, and yet most people don't even realize, don't see it, are blissfully unaware of it. Let's go to the phones and grab Glenn in Pennsylvania. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
You know, Chris, sometimes I just wish you would disappear.
Poof.
And then I wouldn't have to deal with you anymore. That's the epitome of solipsism.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't exist, though. I'm just a non-playable character, so...
Yeah. No, but it's funny. I got thinking about this stuff the other day, and then solipsism thing, you know, and just in a Christian context, just thinking about the, you know, sin is the overarching negative reality. Selfishness is very closely akin to sin. I'm not aware of too many unselfish sins. And then solipsism. But I thought, you know, if you cross out the idea of solipsism with Descartes' evil demon analogy, or metaphor, you know, the idea of the all-powerful evil being.
Yeah.
But if he's solipsistic, he would not create because he wouldn't want the competition. He wouldn't want to, you know, he's not love. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is, of course, apathy. So, which is like solipsism in a sense. And so you would, if you had this evil demon Descartes, you know, this Cartesian evil demon being, I'm thinking he wouldn't create, you know, because God is Yahweh is agape, God is love, and he creates because he is love. And I just thought that was just my conjecture. I just thought it was an interesting concept, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure you would probably agree that, you know, if you start, anybody who starts reading these guys, really, if you read or listen with a critical eye or ear, it's just fraught with controversy and hypocrisy and oxymoronic assertions. So I'm not in the crowd that thinks that folks like Wittgenstein were brilliant. I think they were, you know, sad and confused.
The only thing I ever know about Wittgenstein is that he said all truth is subjectively interpreted. But you know, and that's like, okay, that doesn't of course mean there is no objective truth. It just means being subjectively interpreted. But
inherently, like you said, it puts man sort of in the catbird seat of God to say how things are interpreted, and that's kind of the thing. I'm trying to write a piece on this, and particularly sort of centering around the Greek term meta schematizo, which is a crude pronunciation, which is from two Greek roots, meta and schema, and basically it's referring to things from, you know, kind of outside and beyond the thing. And that's what all of this is. I mean, if you're not discerning, then you won't spot it. But if you're paying attention, you see it everywhere. You see it in churches. There's the same perspective that Wittgenstein had, for example, being applied by pastors and churches. That man is in the catbird seat, and I'm going to tell God, you know, what I want and how things should be and how the universe is interpreted. And that is folly. Right. I would say rebellion, like you said. I think you alluded to it if you didn't state it. But it's rebellion. And it violates, to do that violates at least six of the Ten Commandments in my humble estimation.
One thing I was going to say is I remember thumbing through some of the Arcana Celesta volumes, and it's like what utter drivel.
Yeah.
For start, you know.
Yeah.
Something more apparent. A lot of modern preachers are kind of railing about this. What is being called progressive Christianity, which is nothing more than neoliberalism. It's just that this time, instead of taking over all the mainline Protestant churches, this progressive Christianity thing is targeting, you know, the more lively evangelical and, you know, other movements, mostly evangelicalism. So there's certain screen, and there's nothing new under the sun. This is it's not even a reincarnation. It's a re-emphasis or a retouting of liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, of course, and consequently, it's humanistic, and consequently, yes, it's rebellion. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. It's, speaking of nothing new, you know, I don't know if anybody's looked, but this reminds me of, I keep mentioning the fundamentalist modernist controversy of 100 years ago, and there was the image that circulated, first published in 1922, the descent of the modernists, and you have, from Christianity, there are stairs down into the basement of hell, basically,
yeah.
I guess to accompany Dante in the Inferno, but or Milton or whomever, but you know, Christianity and the steps down are Bible's not infallible, man not made in God's image, no miracles, no virgin birth, no deity, no atonement, no resurrection, agnosticism, atheism, and it just gets darker and darker. That was
abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that was from the Seven Questions in Dispute by William Jennings Bryan.
It just amazes me that humans, you know, I do not see their own foibles, their own limitations. Mm-hmm. That's like one thing I've never understood about Satan himself. He knows that he is not transcendent.
Yeah,
he knows.
Right.
How can, like, it doesn't take a whole lot of thought to figure out that you have limitations of various sorts, you know, and
I don't know what conversations he's had, obviously. I mean, I don't know what back channel conversations, so to speak, but I can read the Bible. I know that the devil quotes scripture. He quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus in the wilderness, and he's probably familiar with Revelation chapter 12. So I'm sure, you know, that was his experience. And so it is fascinating to see all of this, and yet, you know, to read the lake of fire was created for all of this, all these shenanigans, and yet there's the hardcore full court press to not just repent or, you know, abate, but to lean in and press forward. It's pretty interesting.
Right. Well, I often think about, like, the appeal for mercy on the basis of ignorance, you know, like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, or mm-hmm. forgive them, Father, they're idiots, but yeah. I love them, you know, but that is something, you know, that's something that's not, the fallen angels are not eligible for that plea, because they were there, they beheld the glory of God, they were there, and it's like, hey guys, if you think back a little bit, you'll probably realize that you have not been around forever, you had a beginning, or even in our own human life, how far back do we remember in our own lives?
Yeah.
Well, we may not remember infancy and stuff, but we can remember childhood. It's like, we're certainly aware that we are not infinite and time transcendent and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, what, you know, why are you not grasping the significance of that, you know?
Yeah.
seems to me my own limitation. So this idea of humans in the catbird seat, or humans as the measure of all things, it's so preposterous given how feeble we are.
Absolutely. And that's why I, you know, the view that I have in the deception that occurs, it reminds me of, you know, the movie, which one was it? Was it Hannibal? I think, you know, where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain. That's where we're at with this stuff, with all of this stuff that we're talking about, this intellectual current. It's like, you know, being fed our own brain and thinking it tastes delicious. It's insane.
Right. What scares me is there may have been a little more to that than mere fiction.
Yeah.
Because Ray Liotta went on to use an anti-smoking, you know, medicine.
Yeah. Chantix,
and,
right?
Which is damaging, I think, to the Chantix. And
yeah.
And it's like, when you see Ray Liotta in those Chantix commercials, he's like,
he looks like he's eating his own brain. Absolutely. That's kind of what I was thinking. Same thing. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm Ray Liotta, and I haven't had an emotion in 6 months.
Look, it's delicious. You can have it too. It's insane.
And Anthony Hopkins, where are you, Anthony Hopkins, when we need you? But,
yeah.
So, all right, well, that's all I had. I was just mainly that evil demon thing. Like, you know, like a selfish, an all-powerful selfish being would not create because he's not agape.
Yeah. Amen. Well
all right,
said.
Dude, thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Much appreciated, as always. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back.
Please remember, I still...
Obviously, speaking of Ray Liotta, we lost Ray Liotta earlier this year, too. Was it COVID? Or, you know, being slightly facetious, obviously. Natural causes. Or unknown causes. Whatever the case may be. But, you know, this... What we're talking about, what Glenn and I were talking about, reminds me of that scene in Tommy Boy, you know, where David Spade makes fun of Chris Farley and says, you know, this is the guy who wants to basically destroy your family's business, and all you can say is, he seems like a nice guy. So the point being, you know, for anyone who would say, who cares? I mean, it sounds like a religious discussion or a, you know, patently sort of theological or whatever kind of discussion. What does this have to do with me? Well, these views that were expressed by folks like William James and the Swedenborgian influence has infiltrated your life, whether you, I don't know, attend church or not, whether you believe in God and have ever read the Bible or not. And so isn't it kind of maybe important to understand that in the fashion that Glenn elucidated, that maybe we're not quite as objective as we are led to believe, and maybe we've been influenced in ways, very, very subtle and pervasive, and I would say pernicious ways, that have us believing things we don't even realize we believe, or we are using a lens and filter for society and for life that we don't realize that we hold. That's what's happening. That's what's been happening. That's the meta abstraction. Again, it's the meta schematizo in Greek. Strong's G3345 that I'm referring to. And that's from two Greek roots, meta and schema. And I don't think it's a surprise. I started to talk about Facebook and the name changed to Meta. I think this is why. This is exactly why. That's, you know, the ultimate headwaters of this kind of pernicious influence. With billions of users. What's a user? Words matter. So, that'll do it for the first hour. That seemed fast. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.